The following program contains sensitive subject matter. If you need support, please reach out for help. The Hope for Wellness line is available 24/7 to all Indigenous people across Canada. Call 1-855-242-3310.
Welcome to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. Join us as we chat and highlight all the advocacy we are doing with and for our nation. Bonjour, Anine, Han, hello everyone. Welcome to another episode of Fireside Chats, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. I am SCO Grand Chief and your host, Jerry Daniels. We are coming to you from the studios of NCI on Treaty 1 territory. Today we focus on a theme that we explore and talk about a lot, and that's healing, strength, and resilience. We will chat with former Grand Chief and SCO's current Director of Child Welfare, Margaret Swan. Margaret represents strength, resilience, and healing. Then in the second half of the show, we will visit with Carol McCorrister, who is our Director of Wellness at SCO. Carol will share some knowledge about grieving and about some of the work we are doing at SCO to support the wellness of people in the SCO member nations. I'm so glad you have joined us here on NCI or wherever you get your podcasts. Earlier this month, SCO played host to well over 500 participants for our second ever Survivors Gathering. The event was geared towards survivors and intergenerational survivors of residential schools, day schools, the 60 Scoop, the child welfare system, along with all those who are impacted by the national emergency of our missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, Two-Spirit, and gender diverse relatives. It is also a chance for people to come together to share their own stories of resilience and strength and to hopefully find pathways to true healing. Joining us now to talk about the gathering and to share her own personal stories is former SCO Grand Chief and our current Director of Child Welfare, Margaret Swan. Welcome to Fireside Chats.
Anin, Grand Chief Miigwech.
Let's start with the recent Survivors Gathering. Can you tell me about your experience at the gathering?
Sure. Well, firstly, I'd like to say how important it is to have these types of gatherings because of the fact that our history has done so much damage in the past, specifically with residential schools, day schools, and the 60 Scoop. We still feel the remnants of that past. And so these gatherings really help us to look and share that past and focus on healing within ourselves, which is what we really, really need within our lives today and in the future.
Thank you for that. What did you witness in terms of people sharing their stories?
I witnessed healing. I witnessed the release of negative feelings. I think a lot of us have felt the sadness and the anger that's attributed to our past, and we have the opportunity to share. And in those gatherings, there are also different things put in place to help us move through the sometimes negative emotions that are triggered as a result of talking about that past. But that it's why it's important to talk about that past, because it helps us move forward as a people and get better at what we need to do for ourselves.
I know you were speaking at one of the workshops about aging out of care and child welfare. Can you tell us a little more about that?
The unfortunate part about the whole child welfare system is that it's really flawed. There has been a lack of empathy and understanding when it comes to how we deal with our children, our families, and specifically our young people who have aged out of care, have not received the help and support they need as they begin their journey in life as young adults. Fortunately for our young people, our leadership, some of our agencies have stood strong and fought hard to ensure that there are now better services being provided for children aging out of care. But there's always still room for improvement. We need to keep striving to do better for ourselves.
One of the things you shared at the session was most of us still need to do some healing work. And why is that important to find those ways to do that healing work?
It is very, very important for us to find ways of doing the healing work we need to do, because many of us, if not all of us, have layers and layers of trauma stemming back to, for me, the residential school, day school. I'm just going to share a little bit about my history as a person. I grew up in Lake Manitoba Treaty 2 First Nation. And not to say anything negative about my family, but the reality is I grew up in a home of family violence, addictions, alcohol, and drug abuse. And in my adult life, I lost two brothers to suicide 6 weeks apart. I lost a five-year-old son. At that point in my life, I struggled with addictions because I did not know how to cope. The pain of losing my brothers and my son was excruciating. It broke me. After that time, I went to mainstream people for help, psychologists, non-Indigenous. I managed to deal with my addiction, which was alcohol, with help. And fast forward a few years ago, I lost a couple of sons, a 29-year-old son to an accidental methadone overdose. I lost a 27-year-old son to an accidental fentanyl overdose. And once again, I've been broken, but this time I've grown to really understand that in order for us to do well in even helping our own people, we first need to deal with that past. And I share my own family history because there are many, many of us, if not all of us, who have similar histories. And it's so important to talk about that past without being ashamed of it and worried about what others are going to think, because the reality is we need to work through the emotions from our very traumatic past, so many of us.
I want to note that SCO is focused on holistic healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing, mental health healing of that, and our physical well-being, which is why we offer programs such as our Pathways to Healing program, our Traditional Healers program, our Harm Reduction program, and our Mobile Crisis Response Team. We also have our Child and Family Services program. You bring a unique perspective to the role as director for this program, and we're so thankful for the personal story that you've just shared with us and the healing that comes with us, and also the personal experience and a lot of loss that you've had in your own life. So thank you for sharing that with us. Now, what kind of things have you done as part of your own healing journey?
Firstly, years ago, I went to mainstream therapists and asked for help. That helped somewhat. But I think it's so important to emphasize that as First Nations, our healing, there's a lot of healing that happens within ourselves. Like as mentioned earlier, the survivors gathering, that's a good example of where we do some healing, but also our ceremonies, something as simple as a sharing circle to talk about our emotions, our struggles, and the positive things in our lives are very healing for our people and our families. We don't need to be going to mainstream as much to do healing within ourselves. Mind you, in this day and age, we have First Nations therapists who've gone through some of the things we have gone through, and as a result, they are very good at what they do. So, and for me personally, I go to a young female Indigenous therapist. I still speak to that young woman at least once a month because I continue to need help in my healing journey. And I think it's important that we find ways of getting our healing, whether it be through a therapist, whether it be through ceremonies like sharing circles, letting go ceremonies, sweat lodge, Sundance. Those activities serve us better in our healing journeys. And then, like I said, sharing within those survivors gatherings is such an important piece. And just being around our people, like powwows. For me, Grand Chief, I just want to say, I was in deep depression after losing my 29-year-old son in 2015. I isolated myself again from everybody, and not realizing I really needed help. And when I started working at Southern Chiefs Organization, I have to say being around people like yourself, other chiefs like Chief McLean, Chief Prince, Chief Ketchaway, all of our people, staff at the Southern Chiefs Organization, and just the way we work together, talk to each other, look after each other, even that is healing. We really, truly need each other. We need to show each other that we care, we love each other, and continue to do things in a loving, kind way. It took me a couple of years to get there. When I first started, I was angry and sad because of different reasons, partly because I had lost my son, but also I had to fight with the child welfare system that hasn't served our people well. I had to fight with that system to get my grandchildren all placed with me in my home. And it took the intervention of my chief of Lake Manitoba Treaty 2 First Nation, Chief McLean. I want to say, if you're there at Miigwech, you helped me bring my grandchildren into my space, which is what we should be doing for all our children whenever possible.
Margaret, it has been so good chatting with you. Thank you so much for telling us your personal story, and we hope that that helps many, many others out there, which I'm sure will. And so with that, Chi Miigwech. Margaret Swan is the former Grand Chief for SCO and is now our Director of Child Welfare. Still to come, we have another great guest who has their own reflections on strength, resilience, and healing. After the break, we visit with our SCO Director of Mental Health and Wellness, Carol McCorrister. Now, as we go to break, here is a new song from the Anishinaabe artist, Leonard Sumner. Leonard is a songwriter from Little Saskatchewan First Nation, and he is performing in the United Kingdom this week. He recently released this track called Bury My Bones. We'll be right back.
Bury my bones at the mouth of the river. Let the land take back all the things that it gives us. I was never alone. I was always with the Spirit. So bury my bones at the mouth of the river. Bury my bones at the mouth of the river. Let the land take back all the things that it gives us. I was never always with the Spirit, so bury my bones at the mouth of the river. I'm at peace with death now, still wanna live it up. Though life has its letdowns, it's still time to fill it up with stories and laughter. Writing new chapters, reading old books and sharing them after. Green tea and coffee, no sugar, too cream. From the places we started, feels all like a dream. Don't wake me, I know I'm not sleeping completely. At peace with the things I believe in. So bury my bones at the mouth of the river. Let the land take back all the things that it gives us. I was never alone, I was always with the Spirit. So bury my bones at the mouth of the river. Bury my bones at the mouth of the river. Let the land take back all the things that it gives us. I was never alone, I was always with the Spirit. So bury my bones at the mouth of the river.
That was Leonard Sumner with Bury My Bones, and you are listening to Fireside Chats. I'm your host, SCO Grand Chief Jerry Daniels. As we discussed in the first half of the show, SCO is devoted to helping the people we represent find their own paths to true healing. One effective way of doing this is finding people who are inspiring, who have inspiring stories of their own to share. That certainly applies to my next guest. Carol McCorrister is from Peguis First Nation. She is a very familiar face when it comes to First Nations mental health and wellness initiatives at SCO. Carol was recently named as the SCO Director of Mental Health and Wellness. Before that, she was overseeing our Mobile Crisis Response Unit. A new grandmother as well as a mother, Carol recently shared some of her knowledge about dealing with grief and loss at our Survivors Healing Gathering. I know many people found her presentation to be very helpful, useful, and I'm happy to have Carol in the studio with me so she can share some of her knowledge with you. Welcome to Fireside Chats.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Or good evening, I guess, now.
Let's start at the beginning. Tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up?
I'm from Peguis First Nation, and I did grow up in Peguis. I had both parents. They were teachers in the community, so it was a very stable environment that I grew up in.
What about your childhood and your youth? How did that impact your career? And maybe tell us a little bit about how you, what you've been doing throughout your work years as well.
You know, I had a lot of influence from my family. My grandmother specifically was very inspirational for me, and she set me on a balance to ensure that I followed a path where I was taking care of my physical self, my emotional, and my spiritual. So I think that kind of gave me my foundation, as well as my parents both being professionals in the community.
Last week, you gave a presentation on dealing with grief and loss at our healing gathering. Can you give me a bit more information about some of the tips that you shared with people at the gathering?
Yes, it was quite emotional, just because the whole topic area, grief and loss, and I think the impacts of colonization stems very deep rooted in our communities. So I wanted to, because it was a closing of the conference, I wanted to bring light on some of the healing remedies for grief and loss. And I think that I captured that, because at the end of the conference, a lot of people came to me and said that some of the teachings that were shared, they were going to be utilizing, and that meant a lot to me.
Yeah, grief and loss is quite prevalent in our First Nations. Can you tell us just a bit more about maybe the programs and the services we have at SEO that provide the support to our members?
Yes, we have our mobile crisis response unit, and there's three areas of service that we provide through the mobile crisis, which is prevention. So we do a lot of educational workshops and training opportunities for communities, as well as we do the immediate crisis response, and then we also do aftercare. So if there's additional supports needed for a family or an individual, we will ensure that there's that continuum of care. So if anyone from our First Nation member communities want to access our services, please visit our website.
Thank you for sharing that information. I know your teams are very busy. Carol, why is it important that people reach out for support when they are going through difficult times?
Isolation is I think, a sad piece that stems from our history. You know, we tend to isolate and live in silos. So I really try to break down those walls, those barriers that people have, and ensuring that there's a hand out there for them. And you know, isolation breeds depression, sadness. And so one of our key services that we provide is that outreach as well. So we have the land-based healing, we have traditional healers, and harm reduction that are some of those arms that we like to reach out to the community. So ensuring that they have services.
I heard you're a writer. Can you tell us, those who are listening, why writing is important to you?
Writing is my way of my own healing. So, you know, working in the area that I work, I have to keep a balance for myself as well. So I always ensure that I'm evaluating myself and assessing myself both emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically. And so I live within that medicine wheel, keeping that balance. And writing is a part of that, where I'm releasing some of my emotions and my mental thoughts so that I keep in check and I'm balanced.
February is I Love to Read month. What book would you encourage our listeners
to
read?
Yes. So I was doing some of the research, and I thought Mind Over Matter by Jordan Tutu would be one I'd love to recommend to the audience to get out and pull it out. And you know what? He comes from a personal experience and how he's come through his own grief. And I think that stems through a lot of our own personal relationships and lives.
What words of advice would you give to someone who is looking to start their own healing journey?
I think, first of all, I would like to say that you not have any fear to reach out to ask for help, just from personal experience. And sometimes being intimidated to reach out for help is hard. So I would like to encourage anybody feeling in that isolation, feeling some fear to speak about what they're going through, is reach out and talk to somebody that you trust, somebody that you care about. And if there's any other support you need, reach out to us. We have that support as well.
Carol, it has been so good to talk with you today. Thank you for taking the time to be with us on Fireside Chats.
Yes, thank you for this opportunity. And if anybody else needs information on our programs, reach out to us. You can find our contact information on our website.
And that's going to do it for this edition of Fireside Chats. We have a number of folks to thank, including our guests, our producer, Kate Kent, Melanie Ferris, Al Foster, and everyone at SCO and NCI who have helped us to put this show together. If you have any questions or ideas for future episodes, you can send us an email, media@scoinc.mb.ca. We look forward to your feedback and to bringing a new episode of Fireside Chats next week. On behalf of our entire team, I'm SCO Grand Chief Jerry Daniels. Miigwech, padamaye for listening. Thank you. Talk soon. Thank you for listening to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. We hope you join us next time for Fireside Chats, every Friday at 5:30, right here on NCI FM.